kboo.fm under schedule.
You are tuned to KBOO 90.7 FM in Portland. The time is just about 11 o'clock. Up next, on Health and Healthcare Forum, host Roberta Hall speaks with chiropractor lobbyist Vern Sabo about recent progress in expanding public health care reform to offer what has been called alternative care.
Welcome to the Health and Healthcare Forum. I'm Roberta Hall. Our series on health and healthcare features conversations about diverse health concerns. I enjoy these conversations, and I hope you do too. Well, my guest today is someone who's been on the program before. Vern Sabo is a chiropractor. His workplace is in Albany, but he also speaks on behalf of chiropractors in the legislature. He's a lobbyist there, and so that's a part-time occupation, but he's gotten very interested in following the legislation and influencing it. But then there's the problem of enforcement, which is another whole issue in itself. So welcome, Vern.
Thank you.
Let's start out with some new developments and then go into some background after that, and new developments relating to whether in the transformation process of our healthcare system, whether chiropractors, naturopaths, and other so-called alternative or complementary practitioners are part of the system as they actually are certified to be.
Yes. Well, we have two specific areas. One is state law, which was the law that dealt with coordinated care organizations, which our transformation team, the governor's transformation team, created that animal called CCOs. The governor's bill was Senate Bill 1580. The governor, at our asking of our coalition of chiropractic physicians, optometric physicians, naturopathic physicians, midwives, nurse practitioners, and licensed acupuncturists, inserted the non-discrimination language from the Federal Accountable Care Act, Section 2706, into his bill and to the Coordinated Care Organization bill, applying those non-discrimination provisions to Oregon state law dealing with coordinated care organizations, which currently serve primarily the Medicaid population. But if it's in fact successful, that model successful, it'll be applied to Medicare, all school districts, and public employees.
When people hear non-discrimination language, they more often think of discriminating against the consumer or the patient, but this is different because it's about practitioner type.
Correct, but in the end, it's the patient, it's the consumer that should be the focal point. That's why we refer to the new paradigm in healthcare delivery as patient-centered. So they're actually, by discriminating against us and other provider, CAM providers, they're discriminating against patients and consumers who would like to see a naturopathic physician as opposed to a traditional medical physician.
I was just thinking of the casual radio listener who may not have
right.
a background, and we need to bring them along.
Sure.
The transformation bill actually used that language, as you say.
Yeah, it's the same language, only it was improved on. It's this language that is in the federal health care bill, Section 2706, which simply states in part that no insurer, in this case a coordinated care organization, can discriminate against any health care provider practicing within their licensure, scope, or certification under applicable state law. So they have to be practicing within their scope. That reimbursement must be based on quality and performance measures. It cannot be based on licensure. So in other words, if I do some blood studies, which I do, and a workup on a patient, they can't pay me a lesser fee for that clinical work than they would pay a medical physician simply because I'm a chiropractic physician, not a medical physician. It'd be discriminatory. In fact, I can actually be paid better if my outcome assessments, my performance measures show that I treat and keep my patient population at a higher level of wellness. I keep their blood sugar level down. I keep their hypertension down using my interventions versus medicine. I can actually receive a bonus.
So it builds in bonuses based on track record of the actual practitioners, the individual practitioners.
Correct. There are specific performance measures, outcome matrix that the state has developed that they look at. And if you are doing a good job and as far as outcomes, keeping your patient population healthy or healthier, you can receive bonuses.
Interesting. And they probably track it for a year or so and then make the evaluation.
Correct. I think it's actually a provision for quarterly. Yeah.
That's pretty frequent. Good. That was passed in the transformation bill, but as I followed it, some of the coordinated care organizations have actually done that, and some have not.
That's correct. In fact, to date, as far as my knowledge, there has not been a single coordinated care organization in Oregon that has contracted with a chiropractic physician or a naturopathic physician. I'm not sure about licensed acupuncturists or massage therapists, but I know that none of the CCOs have contracted with a chiropractic physician or naturopathic physician. We just, our coalition of providers just met with Bruce Goldberg, who's the medical physician, who's the director of the Oregon Health Authority, and the naturopathic physician representative was validating that. But Dr. Goldberg has just formed a integrated care advisory group of us CAM providers. There's two representatives from chiropractic, two from naturopathy, two from midwives, two from licensed acupuncturists, and so forth. And what we're going to do is meet with the medical directors of the CCOs to see how best to integrate complementary and alternative medical providers into the CCOs. The CCOs are telling us, and my local CCO, the Inter-Community Health Care CCO, kind of a spinoff of Samaritan Healthcare, they just simply are telling me that they simply need more guidance from the Oregon Health Authority on how to implement CAM providers.
That's interesting. And that particular one covers three counties.
Correct.
That's Lynn and Benton and Lincoln, I guess. A pretty big chunk. It surprises me that chiropractors have not been involved at any level. That is to say, many people like to go to chiropractors for some skeletal ailment or perhaps a sports-related injury or work-related, and it's fewer who understand they can go to one as a primary care physician.
Correct. I have board-certified chiropractic internists, and it's within our scope of practice to provide primary care services, which is not widely known. We are known for treating back injuries, back pain, neck pain, and so forth. However, our scope of practice includes minor surgery, gynecology, obstetrics, proctology, and we can do all of the nutritional workups and health assessments and physical examinations. The great majority of chiropractic physicians stick to musculoskeletal and sports injuries, but many of us practice primary care as well. And as you know, the workforce shortage is such that we need all the primary care providers we can get, because we're not going to get enough. It's just simply not going to be enough healthcare providers to take care of everyone.
And that presumably will only increase after January 1, when everybody or almost everybody in the country is required to have some kind of health insurance coverage. Of course, we'll know how many people actually go ahead with that and how many don't pretty soon here, because the enrollment in Oregon will start officially October 1, though it won't be opened up to individuals to go after it on their own to cover Oregon until later in the month, well before the December 15 deadline, actually, is when they're supposed to have made their arrangements.
Correct.
So that will be another, 100,000 maybe in the state at least.
I think the projection was about 200,000, but I'm not certain of that. I know it's roughly 40 million uninsured Americans coming online. And then we also have millions of ERISA patients.
What are ERISA?
Well, it's the, hopefully I get this straight, it's the self-insured companies which could trump state equality laws, states that mandated that the insurance companies had to cover naturopathy or chiropractic, and ERISA trumped that and allowed them to circumvent and not have to provide coverage to certain providers, even if the state law had a mandate for that. The Accountable Care Act, Obamacare, trumps ERISA. So all those ERISA patients will also be coming online too.
Well, that's interesting. Yeah, I've heard of ERISA as a law that has allowed lots of times insurance companies to get out of delivering what they've promised.
Yeah, it was a federal law.
Yeah, some time ago, right?
Yes.
So I didn't know about this other part of it, but that will be trumped by the so-called Obamacare Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act. Had, I'm told, 91 different provisions. Some of them, of course, went into effect immediately, such as children are to be covered on if their parents have family health insurance coverage until age 26. That one went online immediately, but a lot of the others are kind of staggered in.
Correct.
So what's the new developments in Oregon?
The latest development is something that affects all states, and it's the Accountable Care Act, and it's the interpretation, significance, and meaning of the federal non-discrimination section in Obamacare, section 2706, which our federal American Chiropractic Association, with its coalition of healthcare providers, the naturopathic physicians, the optometric physicians, nurse practitioners, nurse anesthetists, and so forth, got into the Accountable Care Act, Obamacare, via Senator Tom Harkin, who's a big friend of the chiropractic profession. It was known as the Harkin Amendment. Now, the legislative intent, we say, was that the insurers cannot discriminate against any health care provider practicing within their scope, license, or certification. That's what the law says. It goes on to state that this is not an any willing provider bill, which means that the insurers don't have to contract with every chiropractic physician or naturopathic physician who wishes to be on the panel, but they have to contract with some. And it has to be an adequate network so that consumers don't have to wait, have delay of getting to that provider, undue waiting periods or other delays because there's so few chiropractors or naturopaths. They have to have adequate numbers. But it's not an any willing provider provision. They don't have to contract with all chiropractors or all naturopaths or all licensed massage therapists, but some. Since that occurred, the insurers are disputing that, and we were waiting for Health and Human Services, HHS, to interpret and come out with some guidance or administrative rule to spell out the meaning and significance of that and the legislative intent of Section 2706. HHS indicated they were not going to come out with any real strong guidance, and we thought everything was fine. And then there was in April from HHS a section on their webpage, which is frequently asked questions, and one question about Section 2706, and the answer of its meaning was great until you got to the very end of the paragraph where it said that insurers do not have to contract with all types of healthcare providers. So we have what appears to be one staff person who took liberties in addressing this question, and also this person went on to state that reimbursement can be adjusted based on market pressures, which, again, flies in the face of the legislative intent and the wording of the federal non-discrimination provision, where it says that reimbursement must be based on quality and performance measures. So we jumped back up in Washington and spoke with Senator Harkin, and he was livid that this occurred. And more recently, there is a Senate appropriation bill for the Accountable Care Act, wherein the committee and Senator Harkin clearly states yet again what the legislative intent was of his amendment. Can't get any clearer than the original authors of the amendment, of the wording, telling you within the guts of an appropriation bill what the intent is. And since that, we've met with the insurance commissioner, Lori Kelly, who is brand new insurance commissioner. She took over for Lou Savage.
Is that at the federal level? Or
no, that's at the state level. The Oregon State new insurance commissioner. They did a data call where they sent out a questionnaire to the insurers asking, well, if you don't have CAM providers within your network, how are you going to fix that? She told us that the response was less than desirable, So they're going to just simply come out. The next step is they're formulating the Oregon Insurance Division. The insurance commissioner is formulating a guidance to the insurers as per Section 2706, what it means, the significance, and that's going to be very telling.
That will be at the state level.
That's at the state level. That's our insurance commissioner. They're going to give guidance as per this Section 2706, which is part of the federal bill, which would apply to all Oregon commercial health care insurers or cover Oregon.
And it could perhaps set a precedent or something that other states might borrow. Who knows?
Yeah, they can refer to it.
Some states are much more interested than others in actually getting everybody covered. And one thing that Oregon has done is tried to take advantage of every federal provision, I might say every federal dollar. Also, that's been the intent for some years here.
We have a real workforce shortage of healthcare workers, of doctors, nurses, medical assistants, chiropractic assistants, to handle all these consumers, Oregonians, that are going to be coming online January 1st. And so it's very important that everything that's covered within an individual's scope is reimbursed for, which is what the non-discrimination language states. So in other words, we need more chiropractic physicians, naturopathic physicians, and other healthcare professionals to help provide healthcare for Oregonians. There simply isn't going to be enough medical workers. All the more reason to implement the non-discrimination provisions. For instance, the essential health benefits package, the benchmark plan for Oregon, is 10 categories of services that each insurer within the exchange must cover as their basement benchmark plan. It's the minimum plan they must offer. Well, of those 10 services, 10 categories of services, chiropractic physicians can provide the great majority of them. If we wish to do blood studies, if we wish to treat accident, injury, or illness with some of the 60 most common conditions that come into a primary care office without all the drugs and pharmacology, we use many non-invasive nutraceuticals, botanicals, vitamin mineral megadoses, and homeopathics in our mechanical treatments without all the side effects of the pharmacology. And so those things must be covered, and under law, federal law and state law, they should be. Implementation, as you said, is going to be the next battlefield.
I talked to Vern Sabo on September 19, and things looked very positive for Oregon's process of incorporating complementary practices and practitioners at that time. But because Oregon's non-discriminatory rules were patterned after the federal rules, and the federal frequently asked questions, as Dr. Sabo discussed, misrepresented the intent of the legislation, Oregon's guidelines have become an issue. Communication lines are open between Dr. Sabo and the insurance division, however, so the process of clarifying the requirement is continuing and may be resolved very soon. This incident reminds me that while most of us, like me, have focused on coverage and cost changes in healthcare reform, and occasionally on legislation, we've tended to miss below-the-surface developments that could render null and void the wishes that the public has for true reform in all areas of healthcare. And we have community advisory committees. There are people on the one in our area who are watching and going to meetings, and some of them are really trying to open up those meetings because, remember, there had been a bill in the legislature that would make all of these public meetings and open to the public. Well, that didn't pass. But in order to really find out what the board discussions are, it would be very nice if you had some people maybe not participating in the meeting, but allowed to keep their eyes and ears open and maybe find out the real reasons behind some of the sluggishness, let's say.
One other new development, per se, is the implementation of utilizing and integrating complementary and alternative medical providers to the public by way of patient-centered primary care medical homes. I just became affiliated, a medical director of one in Salem, and we have a medical physician. We have a nurse practitioner, a naturopathic physician, chiropractic physicians, massage therapists, acupuncturists. I think I got everybody. And some counselors for substance abuse and addiction, and all working in a coordinated fashion. And patient-centered primary care medical homes have advanced standing with the insurers.
Excuse me, what does that mean, advanced standing with the insurers?
It means that providers will get a bonus for consumers coming to them because they're a medical home, and the consumers can get a discount for going there.
Wow.
And because it's integrated care, and because the focus is on health promotion and wellness, and that naturally will reduce costs because we not just treat passively, but we help facilitate consumers to take ownership of their health and wellness. Eat well, think well, move well. We instruct them on the first baby steps on how to change their lifestyles, breathing techniques and meditation in ways in which to help them as far as stress levels, all of which is designed to take them to higher levels of wellness or homeostasis so they don't get sick in the first place. So that's the nature of a medical home, not just treating passively, but really educating the patients on how to take ownership of their own health and wellness.
Let me ask you, have you ever been in a medical home network before?
No, this is a new animal.
That's great. How long have you been in it?
About a month.
About a month? Wow. Well, that'll be fun to just kind of monitor and see how that goes.
I'm very likely going to turn my practice into a patient-centered primary care medical home. Being a medical home does not mean that you have to be in the same physical building, network together. And so I do specialty exams for many of the patients there that have been in accidents or injuries. I do formal impairment ratings and so forth, which are important for determining disability.
Oh, that's very interesting. We've heard a lot about them, but, you know, it's nice to have one sitting right here talking to me who's participating in it now and getting the insider experience from the person providing the care as well as from the people who are going. So that's in part designed to try to keep people out of hospitals, which are really expensive and also so debilitating for people, like if they have a diabetic setback, have to go in and going in and out. It just would seem to me like a horror story.
And the other population that we really focus on are the chronic pain patients and substance abuse, becoming addicted to pain relievers. We have a real problem with opioid narcotics in the state, and we have a lot of folks that are within the Medicaid population in particular that are hooked on opioids. Mm. And the need for those chronic pain patients to slowly get them off those with natural interventions such as spinal manipulation, chiropractic treatment, massage, acupuncture, and moving them away from the harmful opioid narcotics and prolonging their life by so doing.
And so you're into this up to your neck?
Yes, eyeballs.
And you like it?
Oh, I do. It's exciting. I can see the possibilities, not only in the state, but across the country.
What else is on your mind? What else are you working on?
Relative to the essential health benefits package in those 10 categories.
Could you just name a few just to give us an idea what they sound like?
Well, ambulatory care is number one. Primary care, treatment of accident and illness. The 60 most common conditions that come into a primary care office do not necessarily have to be treated with pharmacology. Many evidence-based natural remedies work quite well that don't have all the side effects of all the drugs. And so chiropractic physicians and naturopathic physicians acting as primary care providers can provide those things. Another is pediatrics. We treat a lot of children and do a wonderful job and help a lot of children without having to go and getting the amoxicillin for their middle ear infection. Many times just getting them off dairy will clear right up, and there's a very simple technique of sweeping the Eustachian tube inside the mouth with a finger cup to clear it, along with that is very effective. Mm. And manipulation of the cervical spine, many times will be a little fixation there with the child. Same thing with asthma, mid-thoracic area. There's a wonderful Danish study show that the children's asthmatic attacks were cleared up within 3 to 4 treatments of the T456 area. And there's a neurology to that. And also physical treatments that we provide, the blood studies, lab blood studies, nutritional workups, health promotion, wellness counseling, x-ray and other imaging. Relative to the essential health benefits package and those 10 categories of services, the University of Western States in Portland, the chiropractic school, is implementing and has been developing over the last so many months a certification program in primary care. For those chiropractic physicians who wish to practice primary care, to bring them back up to speed, many of the field doctors would like to expand their musculoskeletal practices, this new opportunity to bring them back up to speed. A great majority of the curriculum is built around those essential health services.
That's, you know, in a way really obvious, isn't it? If people only come to you for backaches, you're going to be darn good at that.
Right.
But you probably will need to keep up on the other things if you expand your practice into it. We'll just have to keep following these things, and I'd really be interested in more stories about how the medical home model works as you see it, but I'm glad to hear that it's happening.
You bet.
Thank you very much for coming.
Thank you for having me.
The Health and Healthcare Forum is produced by Roberta Hall and recorded with the aid of Joe Magner of Anabyte Electronics and Recording. Theme music was composed by Lori Childers and played by Lori Childers and Kent White.
You are tuned to KBOO 90.7 FM in Portland. The time is 11:26. Coming up at 11:30 will be, we'll hear The War on Empathy with nutritionist Marion Nestle and linguist George Lakoff. For the next few minutes, though, we'll have a brief musical break.
Just a few old memories that slipped in through the door. Though I thought I had closed it so tightly before, I why it should bother my mind, for it all belongs to another place and time. Just a few old keepsakes way back on the shelf. Just a few old love letters with the edges all brown and an old faded picture I keep turned upside down.
You are listening to KBOO 90.7 FM in Portland. This program has been made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Aladdin Theater, presenting An Evening with Texas singer-songwriter Robert Earl Keen, Thursday, October 3rd at 8 p.m. Tickets and information for Robert Earl Keen on October 3rd at aladdin-theater.com. Up next, we are going to hear about the War on Empathy with nutritionist Marian Nestle and linguist George Lakoff.
This is Sea Change Radio, covering the shift to sustainability. I'm Alex Wise.
What Obama, when he was running for office, would be asked something like, what is patriotism? And he'd say, patriotism begins with people caring about each other. The most important thing my mother taught me was empathy, to put yourself in someone else's shoes. What you want in a judge.